The first reading is from Titus, chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured onto us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1.
Praise and glory to God.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judah, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word. Jesus, the light of the world, as we celebrate your birth, may we begin to see the world in the light of understanding you give us. As you chose the lowly, the outcasts, and the poor to receive the greatest news the world had ever known, so may we worship you in meekness of heart. Amen. A few weeks ago, we were walking through Northlands Mall, not far from here. As we walked past the cinema, my children stopped and watched one of the trailers. After some time, I called them up so that we could continue on our walk home from the shops. I asked them, What's the movie about, the one you've watched the trailer for? And one of them said, it's just about saving the world. Saving the world, I asked. She said, yeah, I think so. Lots of movies are about saving the world. So I pondered, it seems the world needs saving quite often then. She said, yeah, in the movies it does. Now, I don't know whether my children's assessment of the movie was accurate, because I don't know which movie it was. But it really seems that they are right that a lot of the movies are about saving the world. The heroes normally have to overcome some challenges to save the world, and also a few baddies normally have to be defeated on the way. Sometimes the heroes are quite clearly marked out for their mission. But at other times, they appear quite ordinary people who are thrust into extraordinary circumstances. After saving the world, we normally hear little more about them, unless it's a trilogy or something like that. But for a moment, we know that order and goodness is restored. Only it seems that soon the world needs to be saved again. And that's what the next movie is about. In comparison with those movies, the biblical story of how God came to save the world is indeed strange, especially if we consider that this is God's definitive salvation. And the story starts off with so ordinary people. Mary and Joseph were an ordinary couple, but they were in somewhat difficult circumstances. They were on the journey while she was pregnant. Her son later would say how dreadful it is for pregnant women and nursing mothers to be on the move. At that point, he spoke about families needing to flee and wished that it would not happen in winter. I wonder whether he had been told by his parents about the time of his birth when they were on the move. Did his mother tell the story when they could not find a place to stay? Did she tell him about the emergency accommodation and how difficult it was for pregnant women and nursing mothers? At the time of the birth of the baby, this couple would have had to contend with all the difficulties in real life right there. They would have felt the uncertainty and the anxiety. A birth is never an easy event, particularly not for first-time parents. It's even more so in a place they're not really part of. We don't know, for example, whether the local midwife, and nearly every village probably had a midwife of sorts, whether she was called for the birth, or whether the couple was just left to fend on their own. Yes, there was something extraordinary about the circumstances of Jesus' birth, but millions of other babies have been born when their parents were away from home. And still in our time, probably most of the babies in New Zealand are born to parents in transitional housing. The ordinariness into which Jesus was born is also emphasized by Luke through the frequent mention of the names Joseph and Mary. A few generations ago, that would have been like saying John and Margaret. Today, it might be like Olivia and Jack or whatever. The names that are in fashion. So these were some of the most frequent names among Jews at the time. So they were fairly ordinary people, but at the same time, the names also indicate that these were faithful Jews. And somehow a connection with the Exodus is made through those names, because Joseph, of course, is the... His bones were carried during the Exodus, and Mary is Miriam, the sister of Moses. It's clear that there's more than meets the eye in even these very common names. Luke mentions that Joseph was of the house and line of David. We are not told about the descent of Mary, but several passages in the Bible seem to indicate that she too was a descendant of David. In any case, through her marriage with Joseph, Mary and her child, according to the law, became part of the house of David. If we know that and more of the background to this child, then it quickly becomes apparent that this couple is not quite so ordinary, and that this baby is special. Of course, we know the story. We know that through this child, God would save the world. We know that Jesus would grow up to tell us about the love of God, that he would give us an example to follow, and that those who follow Jesus would be drawn to God. We know that Jesus would go to the cross for the whole world and there deal with the sin of the world, that he would rise and reconcile humanity to God. We know that as God the Son, Jesus continues to be with us now and in heaven. We know that the whole world would be transformed through God come on earth, that through this baby the world would be saved. But what a strange way to save the world. This salvation comes through such ordinary people, such human people in a sense. Yes, of course, we know there are angels in the narrative to indicate something heavenly, something beyond the ordinary. But set against the great myths of antiquity and modernity, this is a humble and not too promising start. I want to give an example of a modern myth, for example. A few years ago, I completed my master's degree at university. Because I hadn't studied all of the subjects necessary and during my undergraduate courses, I also had to study introductory classes to a few academic disciplines, particularly in various branches of anthropology. In the textbooks, I soon noted a pattern. Whether it was Franz Boas, Margaret Mead, Charles Darwin, Lewis Binford, or Flinders Petrie, or whoever else was a great contributor to a field, the unique qualifications for the contribution to the field was emphasized. In this apparently scientific literature, we were introduced to nearly mythical figures that seemed predestined to impact the world and to bring new insights and concepts to scholarship. After I had read a few of those introductions, I realized that today we have come up with our own way of writing myths and with talking about people that impacted the world. If not, in some sense, people seem to say, saved the world. Such conventions also existed in the ancient world, and yes, the descent of a savior from some significant figure might be part of that convention. But in the cultures around, often when they talked about the hero, the gods were normally thought to be more visibly involved in qualifying the hero for a task. The ordinariness of Jesus' birth is a significant contrast to that, both in the ancient world and today. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem is indeed a very odd way to save the world. Why did God not come in greater splendor? Why were there not greater displays of power? Indeed, the incarnation is a strange way. God becoming one of us. God exposed to the risks, to the suffering, anxieties, but also the joys of a human being. Somehow that doesn't seem to be the best way to bring salvation to the world. And then God came to a people, a nation, that was not known for its success. Rather, Israel was a constant loser in the power struggles of its regions. It was constantly oppressed, constantly buffeted by the greater powers. And yet, among this peculiar, oppressed people, the salvation of the world would come about. While the Savior of the world was born from a line of kings, he himself was born to a very ordinary couple. He grew up in an insignificant town, had little stature or standing even within that oppressed people. Could God not have acted more immediately to redeem the world? Maybe God could have. But that was not God's way. Rather, God came as that one human at a particular point in time. The life of that human, Jesus, contrasts with all other accounts of saving the world. Throughout his life here on earth, Jesus walked the way of humility and love, a way that brought him to the cross where he suffered for humanity, reconciled the world and God, and in suffering and obedience conquered the powers of evil. That is a strange way to save the world, but it is good news.